This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Johnson.
And a good day to everyone, and Happy New Year. Thanks again for tuning in to the Podium Finish Live. I'm Rob Tiongson, a motorsports journalist based out of Austin, Texas, covered a NASCAR beat since 2008. I'm so glad you could join us for another action-packed edition of Racing Talk here. Now, this is our 8th overall episode during the off-season, but our 11th since our comeback in October. And it's our 3rd off-campus edition of TPF Live. But believe it or not, this is our first edition of the podcast in 2022. So pretty exciting. And I hope everybody had a great holiday season and just has equally a wonderful start to 2022. If this is your first time listening to the Podium Finish Live, just wanted to let you know this is a great little podcast that you should be enjoying each week with my co-host Nathan Solomon, who's my friend and co-host, and also a fellow St. Bonaventure Bonnie, who's been with the podcast since October 2021. It's taken some time to get used to the saying the year so loud, so forgive us for these first few podcasts. But Nathan, I hope you had a great holiday season. I know we're back in action as we're preparing for the start of 2022. So how has the holiday season been going for you, and how excited are you for the start of this season, rather?
No, it's kind of weird. This is our 4th month now recording podcasts. It feels like we just got going, but I mean, we've been in this new swing of things here for a while. But yeah, holiday season's been great. It's been good to see some friends, see some family here over the last week and a half. But I'm excited for the new year. Excited to get rolling with this podcast again, with all the other content coming up here on the TPF website. As well as some of the other college basketball stuff that I'm working on as college basketball now turns to full conference play. So pretty exciting stuff, but it's been nice to be able to kind of sit back and relax here for a few weeks before getting back into a full swing of things here in a couple days.
Always great to recharge the batteries, if you will, and kind of just get a refresher from the grind so that we can be fully prepared, fully excited for what we're going to talk about here on TPF Live and our content, as you mentioned, on the website, which we've been pretty busy, as you've been noticing, during this off season. But we'll get to that here a little bit later on on the show. But Nathan, great to have you on, as always. I'm always happy to have you on. And I'm glad that we can have this great show today, because it's the first Monday of 2022. Yes, I know it's hard to get back into the swing of things on the first work day of the week, end of the year, but don't be like Garfield the Cat, people, because we've got a great show today. Ben Rhodes, the defending NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion, is joining us. So I'm really pumped about this interview. I'm sure Nathan is as well. So we're going to hear from Ben later on in the program about how he won the championship, what it's like to race for Thor Sport Racing, and of course, our usual off-track banter that's going to make you feel like you're part of the conversation. So I hope you girls and guys enjoy what we're going to talk about here on this edition of TPF Live. Now, if this is your first time listening to the TPF Live podcast, at least for this edition, and when we're off campus, let me tell you how the show works. So typically, we have a segment called Podium Perspectives. So think of it kind of like Pardon the Interruption, but more of a NASCAR, IndyCar, IMSA, Formula One type banter between me and Nathan. And if we have a guest, they also join us as well. So I'll field the questions to Nathan and our panelists when they're here, and Nathan will chime in with his thoughts. And if I want to intercede, well, I will too, and kind of keep the conversation going on. And then, of course, we have our always popular segment In the Hot Seat, which is an interview segment that features a driver or personality from NASCAR, IndyCar, the NHRA, Formula One. If it has four wheels and it's a familiar series or grassroots series, we'll get them on the show. And I'm excited to tell you folks that we'll not only just have NASCAR folks or major motorsports stars that's going to be on the hot seat, we'll try to introduce you to some of the future stars of motorsports as this year progresses. So we'll talk about that in future episodes. But before we get to our first segment, I know a lot of you folks got your holiday shopping done. Nathan, I know you probably did, got some stuff for your folks and your friends. But I know a lot of us here who, you know, are part of the motorsports scene, and maybe Nathan, you can tell me about that too. I buy a lot of diecast cars, and it's a nice little memento of the racing season. And obviously, you know, it's during the pandemic, you can go to stores, of course, but it's always nice to do some shopping online. So one of the places I get my diecast cars at is CircleBDiecast.com. CircleBDiecast.com is a great website where you can find the latest and greatest editions of NASCAR diecast, as well as diecast in IndyCar and other series as well. And even some green light collectibles if you're into movie cars and all sorts of random vehicles that will complete your mantle or collection. So if you are looking to buy at least $20 or more in diecasts, well, let me tell you, if you use the promo code TPF2021, you will get free shipping on your order. So if you want to take advantage of that offer, go to CircleBDiecast.com, purchase at least $20 or more in in-stock items, and use promo code TPF2021 to help Brent and his team that we sent you, and you'll get yourself some free shipping, which I know as we're getting off the holidays, it's nice to have a little break. So check them out and let the Circle B Diecast folks know that we said hello. Now that you've heard about that and how our podcast works, let's get to segment one, Podium Perspectives. Well, we're heading into 2022, and a lot of us are hopefully feeling refreshed from the holidays, getting back into the work schedule. So let's get to those most recent headlines and stories that happened between episode 10 rather, to today. Bailey Curry will be racing full-time for JD Motorsports NASCAR Xfinity Series team. While a car number and sponsorship package have yet to be formally announced, as of the time that we recorded this podcast, Curry finds himself in the best opportunity he's had yet in his NASCAR career. Nathan, before I share my thoughts, what's your initial perspective on this relatively new driver-team combination in terms of just how awesome this is going to be for both of them?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for Bailey. You know, I know he's one of the good guys here in the sport. So it's really cool that he's going to have an opportunity to drive full time for JD Motorsports, kind of a building staple, I guess, if you will, in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. You know, they've housed a lot of I guess a lot of current Xfinity Series drivers, and it's been a great place for drivers. So I guess kind of get their feet wet in a sense of really that being their first major opportunity. And that's not going to be the case for Bailey Curry. And as we go on here in these last couple of weeks of the offseason, I mean, we still have a lot more we got to hear from JD Motorsports. I mean, that's really their first big announcement of silly season. They still have, you know, multiple cars to fill. As they're planning to run somewhere between 2 to 4 cars, we don't know exactly what that number is going to be yet, but expect a lot more from JD Motorsports here in the coming weeks. But yeah, happy for Bailey Curry. Hopefully he can take advantage of this opportunity and run well. We've seen some drivers have good runs in those cars before. If they get the setup right and everything, I mean, there's, you know, they've had top 10 speed. I think, you know, most notably, I remember Ryan Vargas at Texas in 2020, I think he finished 8th. So those cars have potential. So hopefully he'll get he'll take advantage of his opportunity, and he'll be around in the NASCAR Xfinity Series or even higher into the Cup Series in the years to come.
Yeah, Curry is a really good, solid driver. Gets results, grinds them out even in not the best equipment in the world. I mean, he's raced with Nice Motorsports in the Truck Series. He's done some starts with Mike Harmon's team. And he's done a really good job when he has been called up to drive for JD Motorsports, which, as you mentioned, they've kind of been a launching pad for a lot of drivers. Ross Chastain, you know, made a name for himself in their ride. And look at him now in the Cup Series with Trackhouse Racing. And of course, Landon Castle, the biggest journeyman driver that I think has happened over the past decade. And finally, you know, after years with JD Motorsports and just kind of filling out those, you know, I don't know, like decent rides, he gets a great opportunity with College Racing. So I think we're going to see a lot of great things from that young Texan, who's also a podcast host himself. So I'm not going to plug it because we, you know, we're not partners or anything, but I'm really excited to see what that Texan can do with JD Motorsports. And maybe we'll see if he has a teammate or two, because we don't know exactly who's in the JD Motorsports lineup, although we're not trying to be speculating anything, but I imagine Ryan Vargas is going to be in the picture as well. So We'll see about that in the coming days and weeks as we get into 2022. Now, NASCAR is going to be hosting a testing session at the newly repaved and refit Atlanta Motor Speedway on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this coming week, with the Trucks and Xfinity Series teams taking to the track on Tuesday and Wednesday, January 4th through the 5th, while Cup drivers Chris Buescher of RFK Racing, Kurt Busch of 2311 Racing, and Ross Chastain of Trackhouse Racing take on Atlanta Motor Speedway on Thursday, January 6th for Goodyear Tires test session. Now, Fox NASCAR's Bob Pockris reported that NASCAR is likely to use the 510 horsepower package for the Cup test, although we'll see what happens there. Nathan, based on what we saw in the last few months at Charlotte Motor Speedway and other tracks, at least when we're talking about the Cup drivers and teams, how do you suppose a Goodyear tire test will go for the trio? I mean, as you mentioned before we started recording the show, maybe it's going to be a bit of an advantage for that trio.
Yeah, just what you said, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. I don't really understand NASCAR's decision not to make this an organizational test for the Cup Series. I mean, Atlanta is totally a different, you know, an all new track, basically. The corners are banked more. Of course, the new surface there is a game changer there. I mean, before you run, you know, 3-5 laps, all of a sudden, you know, you get another quick caution, you have to come back down to pit road and put four brand new tires on. So it's going to completely change racing there all together. And it's not going to be nearly as close to a strategy race of what it used to be. So I don't really understand why they're not doing a full test there. Because I feel like Chastain and Buescher and Kurt Busch, they're going to have a significant advantage with all that track time down there. I mean, it's a new package, the 510 horsepower package. Teams are saying, the manufacturers are saying, that it's supposed to race similarly to Daytona and Talladega, but on a smaller scale. And so if you're going to try to do, I guess, simulated mini drafting and run a new package and run on basically a brand new track for the first time, and you're already having limited practice to start with next season, I mean, that track is going to have, I guess, an extended weekend, if you will, but that's only a 50-minute practice session. I don't understand how that's not an advantage for those teams. I feel like every team should have an opportunity to be able to test there and turn laps, so everybody's kind of on an equal playing field. And I mean, when they get to Atlanta and, you know, early in the season, that'll give those three teams or those three organizations a bit of a one up, because they'll have more of that data, unless, of course, they're making that data public to all teams, which I think they should. But yeah, again, I don't really get that. I also don't get why they're trying to run 510 horsepower there. I feel like it should be 670 horsepower like all the other intermediates. I don't know. I think the racing is going to be too slow. I don't think that, like, with a shorter track and you know, speeds probably 3 seconds slower, I don't think it's going to run as well as everybody's imagining it will. So we'll have to see. A lot will come from that test. And also, just a note, it'll also be the first time we see the new truck bodies on the track, because all new truck bodies here in 2022. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how differently they run, if the speeds differ, if the way they handle differ. We'll be able to see that for the first time. So really, Xfinity is the only series not changing up their package for 2022, and that's a good thing, because they already have the best package to start with. So big week in Atlanta.
I feel like Atlanta is going to feel like Daytona Speed Week testing all over again in that sense, because when January comes around, that's usually when we get to see all these combinations in full action, rather. Maybe not like side-by-side racing, but at least, like, you know, figuring out the chemistry, the communication, the setups and all of that. So, I mean, on the Xfinity side, I'm going to be curious as to see how many drivers and teams are going to show up for Tuesday and Wednesday. And like you mentioned, and we talked about this late last year and at least during the holiday season, the Truck Series teams are going to contend with a new body. So I'm interested to see, you know, again, not only how the combination is going to work out, but which manufacturer is going to have a bit of a competitive advantage with the new body. So that's going to be cool to see. And I have a feeling Ben Rhodes, who's our subject for the hot seat later on, he's going to have a lot to say about that. Maybe not in this interview, but I'm sure he's going to have some interesting thoughts when we get to hear from him later on next week. Kind of on the Cup side, and you mentioned it's a good point. It is a bit of an advantage. And It almost makes me wonder. I mean, yes, we have the three different manufacturers, and maybe the data will be available to the other drivers and teams because you have one. Doesn't have to be. Maybe it will. Who knows? But you have the three different manufacturers, which I think is interesting. I wonder if it gets to a point where NASCAR is going to say, at least before Atlanta or during Atlanta race weekend, are they going to extend their practice session already as it is because they figured, well, kind of unfair that we let three different drivers and teams have a leg up on their competition, or is it going to be pretty much crying over spilled milk?
I think from a timing standpoint, though, it's going to be really difficult because the 3 weeks before Atlanta, they're out west, and then right before that's a 500. So it's not like it's the race is late into the season. I mean, it's race number five here. They're not going to really have much time if they want to do an organizational test, like let's say in the middle of the week there in the weeks before Atlanta, because all the resources are going to be out west, or all the resources are going to be down at Daytona. Because, you know, if, you know, people who aren't as familiar of how, I guess, team operations work, the main haulers, when they're out west, they don't come back like between races. Like they have separate haulers that come out and bring the cars and bring the new parts and everything that the teams need. The haulers stay out west at the entire West Coast swing. So the resources won't be there to do a test like that in Atlanta in that earlier portion of the season. So I feel like if they're going to go back to Atlanta, it's going to have to be soon. I mean, the Busch Clash is a month away. So maybe in that week after the Busch Clash, they could do something. But yeah, I don't really understand the reasoning behind only having three cars do this test. And also, one thing I want to add on the truck side, the new bodies look awesome. So I'm super excited to see how they run, and we'll see how things change for Toyota too, because there's a lot of Toyotas again in the field in 2022, which is kind of crazy to think that there's so many Toyotas in the truck series and so few Toyotas in the Cup series. So I wonder if that'll kind of change some of Toyota's dominance, I guess, in 2022, in the truck series at least.
I would say so. I mean, I always view the truck series as kind of like planting the seeds that's going to nourish over time. And if you see the Hattori boys doing well, like Tyler Ankrum and Chase Purdy, well, hopefully they'll, you know, I know, I think it was Tyler Ankrum who said to me recently that it's kind of a second chance for him to race with Hattori. If that program works out, that's really going to benefit TRD in terms of being more than just what they have right now in the Cup Series, which when you think Toyota and Cup, it's just Joe Gibbs. I mean, no one else really stands out on that side. So, I know we have 2311, but that's basically JGR part two. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that test. And I'm sure you and I and whoever we have as a guest on this show is going to chime in as well. And maybe we'll get some of direct reactions from the drivers and teams when we get going on in this year. And then for our last topic, for podium perspectives, Jimmy Johnson is going to compete in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship again this year. He's going to be alongside Kamui Kobayashi and Mike Rockenfeller. And at least for the Rolex 24, he'll have a teammate in Jose Maria Lopez. Now, Johnson seems to be maximizing on his other racing opportunities since he hung up his helmet in NASCAR back in 2020, which feels like yesterday, but it's almost 2 years ago from now. Now, Johnson was one of the drivers who helped Ally Express Racing get a runner-up in last year's Rolex 24, and then he and his comrades finished 7th, 5th, and 4th in the remaining IMSA Michelin Endurance Cup races. Now, we talked about Jimmy Johnson's IndyCar efforts and what we hope to see from him on Episode 8 for this year, but Nathan, what do you think we can see from him in terms of what he'll do in the IMSA circuit?
Yeah, I think this year's going to be a better year for Jimmy overall. I mean, this past year was a big adjustment year for him, obviously racing two different series that he's never really raced before, the adjustment of that and adjustment of just of really racing all road courses when in his time in NASCAR, except for those last couple of years, you know, he's only really used to running, you know, the traditional two road course races every year of Sonoma and Watkins Glen. So I think, you know, this past year is obviously going to benefit him a lot. And I think his times will continue to get better in both IndyCar and IMSA, but I'm excited to see him back in the IMSA series. I know a lot of the IndyCar drivers, they run a lot of those endurance races because they tend to, the IndyCar off weeks, they seem to kind of coincide a little bit with when IMSA is racing. So it kind of allows some of those IndyCar drivers to be able to race the IMSA series, but I'm excited for it. you know, hopefully I'll be up at Watkins Glen this year to cover the Salem 6 Hour. So I'm excited to be able to see Jimmy run some sports cars. Obviously never got to cover Jimmy in NASCAR because that was before my time of covering the sport. But yeah, it'll be cool to see him back in the sports cars, and I hope he has a really successful year with both the IMSA and the IndyCar team. And I'd love to see him win a race.
I think we might see him win a race because in the Rolex 24 last year, he wasn't the weak link in the for the 48 entry, and I think at some points he was just as competitive as his sports car comrades. So I almost in a way thought that Jimmy did a better job in the sports cars than he did in IndyCar. But he improved in the IndyCar efforts. So I'm really excited to see what he'll do in the sports car, IndyCar side of things, because we're getting to see just how versatile he is. And I think he's racing in the Racing of the Race of Champions event as well, if it hasn't happened already.
I don't know. It sounds familiar, but and also I think Jimmy's going to benefit too, just from in IndyCar. He's going to have a couple ovals to his expense this year. He's going to have Texas. He's going to have Iowa. Gateway, and of course Indianapolis. So that gives him a shot right there, just being a couple of familiar places.
Oh, for sure. And I think he's going to be showing folks that his decision to step away from NASCAR, conclude that part of his chapter, and to show what he can do in other cars is going to be justified. And just to follow up on what I said about Race of Champions, yes, he will be in that event, and he'll be pairing up with Travis Pastrana when they race in that event on February 4th through the 6th in Sweden. So he'll be going against some really good drivers like Sebastian Loeb, Mika Hakkinen from the F1 ranks back in the 1990s, and of course, Valtteri Bottas, who is now going to be racing for Alfa Romeo Racing, and a bunch of other drivers as well. So we're not going to really be following about that series, but Jamie's got some experience in the ROC and does some great things in that, so...
And maybe Tony Stewart can recruit him to run some SRX too.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because that's going to be around the corner too. It's a good summertime series. And I thought it was a lot of fun to see Bobby Labonte race. So why not get Jimmy involved? If he's not going to do NASCAR anytime soon or ever again, at least he'll have the luxury to race an SRX, which I hope we get to do a lot of coverage for and talk about when we get to the summer months here for this year. And actually, bonus topic we're going to talk about before we get to the hot seat. Let's actually talk about Corey Heim and Kyle Busch Motorsports. Corey Heim did a hell of a job last year in the ARCA ranks. I thought at some points, I thought he was going to win the championship in the ARCA ranks, but then Ty Gibbs just went on a hot streak and pretty much was just like Patrick Mahomes in the NFL, whereas Corey Heim was more like Tom Brady before he won the Super Bowl last year for the Tampa Bay Bucks. But Heim's a great driver, got a lot of potential, and he's got a great situation at KBN this year because he's going to be doing some starts in the truck series again. And as we saw last year, that young man can wheel it. I mean, he is no pretender. This kid is going to be the future for TRD, in my opinion. But, you know, Nathan, what do you think we're going to see out of this kid in 2022?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he accomplishes. He'll have 15 races in the number 51 truck for Kyle Busch Motorsports. So that's 15 of 23 races. So that's a pretty full schedule. He'll run the last 8 races of the season, which is the playoffs and then the final race of the regular season. So that kind of tells me that the other 8 races are going to be filled probably between Kyle Busch and maybe some other cup drivers or maybe an Xfinity series driver, because of course drivers from a higher series cannot race in a lower series if they're earning points in the higher series during the playoffs and during the regular season finale. So that tells me that okay, Kyle Busch is probably gonna have 5 races like he usually does, and then the other 3 races, who knows, could it be a Bubba Wallace, could it be Christopher Bell, could it even be someone like Brandon Jones getting a race in there? So, but I'm excited for Heim. I wish he could be able to run all 23 so he could be able to earn points. But he's super young. He'll gain a lot of experience. If he proves himself this year, he should have an opportunity for a full-time ride next year. I believe he's also going to make a handful of ARCA starts again next year, if I'm not mistaken. So he'll stay pretty busy. You never know what other opportunities could come up. you know, Sam Hunt Racing could always be an option. I know, you know, we saw something where John Hunter Nemechek went up there and ran a race last year. So that could be another opportunity where he could land a ride there or you know, who knows what Joe Gibbs Racing is going to do with their Xfinity lineup, which we haven't really learned a ton about. I think we just assume that Ty Gibbs is running full time, which is, I think it's a pretty safe assumption, but yeah, we still need to learn a lot more there, but Heim's gonna have a busy year and I'm excited to see what he can do.
Oh, I can sense the excitement from you because it's it's a palpable emotion coming from you about that. No, I'm kidding, man. But no, I think Heim's going to be such a great driver for the KBM and TRD efforts. I really am impressed with what he does behind the wheel. Natural talent. And I don't blame you for being excited. I am too. And I hope to see what he can do on the racetrack when we get back on the track, covering races, doing more than what we did last year, because there's just so much excitement around the corner with all of these great young talents that are just carving their way up the racing ladder. So again, we're going to talk about that as the year goes on, as we get to defrost from the holiday season and get back to the asphalt arena. So folks, I really hope you enjoyed that this latest edition of Podium Perspectives. And if you want to hear previous episodes, our first episode, any of these discussions, check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. The Podium Finish Live is already there for you to download and listen to at any time, wherever you are. So hope to have you guys listen to future editions as we kick off 2022. I do want to say before we kick off the next hot seat interview that we have, we unfortunately lost a few folks in the racing industry. And it would be remiss if we didn't briefly, you know, pay tribute to the late Martha Earnhardt, who of course is the mother of the late Dale Sr. and of course, mama to the Earnhardt clan. So wanted to extend our condolences to the Earnhardt family and their friends on their path, their loss. And also to, you know, just, it was a tough holiday season all around, just losing Martha Earnhardt. We lost Hill Overton as well. And of course, a few celebrities, but overall, it was a tough way to end the year, but we're going to try to remember these folks the best that we can by living life to the fullest that we can. So let's keep those folks in our thoughts and prayers. And of course, Bob Keselowski as well. I know Brian and Brad and the family are grieving as hard as much as anyone would. And Brad's a really passionate guy. If you read his social media posts, I don't care what you are, you would feel emotion from what happened with the family.
So. Yeah, and I also want to add Steve Richards as well, a long time voice of PRN, and then of course Danny Earnhardt. So tough times for the Earnhardt family, and we all at TPF extend our condolences to all the families.
Absolutely, let's go keep them in our thoughts and our prayers, to find comfort and strength from the racing community. Because at the end of the day, no matter what we do, we're all family in this racing industry. So we'll certainly keep them in our hearts, thoughts, and prayers as we kick off a new year, and hope that everyone knows that we can get through these tough times together for sure. Now, it is time for the hot seat interview that you've been waiting for since the beginning of the year, which is today, right now. Folks, welcome back to the Podium Finish Live here. And our first hot seat interview for 2022. Now, full disclosure, before the holiday break, I interviewed Ben Rhodes, who is entering this year as our defending NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion. I have to say, it was great to finally interview him. And as you've seen, folks, in his press conference at Phoenix, and of course, in his past experiences in the NASCAR Truck Series and even in ARCA, he's got a great personality. But he's also very tenacious, very determined on the racetrack. I would say, you know, unlike my past interviews that you've heard on the show, it started off like an interview, but then it got really conversational. So I know Nathan's been really waiting to hear it. I know you folks at home or in the office, you're going to be hearing it very shortly. Let me say, it does not fail to deliver. I think it's one of my favorite interviews in my career. So, of course, we do cover the typical topics, which you're going to hear very shortly, but let's just say I dropped a script and we just talked, and it became more fun that way. So Nathan, before we do hear from Ben Rhodes, you know, of course, I would say that Ben Rhodes has been the catalyst for Thor Sport Racing. I know Matt Crafton has been piling up those Truck Series championships, but Ben Rhodes seems to be the link to the future for Thor Sport Racing and for, you know, maybe even TRD. I know we talked about the TRD pipeline and how they need to kind of get younger as the year goes on, the years go on. But, you know, what's your overall impression of Ben Rhodes and what do you look forward to hearing from him?
Yeah, a little bit of young blood there, if you will, at a Truck Series organization, kind of known to house some more veteran drivers. But yeah, first of our 2021 champions that we've been able to get on here on TPF Live, so that's always super exciting. Yeah, to your point, a very personable driver. So I'm excited to hear what he has to say. Of course, his press conference after winning the championship was gold. But exactly what you're saying though. He is a great racer. He deserves every bit of his championship. He was really one of the most consistent trucks all season, even though like it kind of felt like we almost forgot about him towards the middle of the year because he just kind of did his thing. He just, you know, ran fifth place all day, you know, or all season, racked up the points, obviously got the two wins to start the season at Daytona and Daytona Road Course. So congrats to him, and I'm excited to hear what he has to say.
I am too, just because I haven't heard the interview since I talked to him in December. So ladies and gents, we're going to hear from Ben Rhodes. So let's get into the hot seat with him and hear from our champion in the Truck Series. Ben Rhodes, take it away as we get in the hot seat.
All right, Ben, thanks for joining us here on the Podium Finish and on the Podium Finish Live. First of all, congratulations on winning this year's NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Championship. I know it's such a huge honor for you, having been a Truck Series racer for the last 7 years. So, I mean, well, it's been some time since that celebration at Phoenix, which everyone's, of course, been ragging you about. How exciting has it been to know that you are this year's champion, and when you get to Daytona, you are the defending champion?
It's very exciting. I just finished doing burnouts all around the city of Sandusky. So I don't have a ticket or citations yet. The police officers were there. And they were encouraging it, which was awesome. So I'm having a great time. I'm looking out now at the parking lot. I got to probably restripe the parking lot for them because I did some damage to the parking lot. Like I had a good time. This is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. I mean, I think back to 2015 when I came up to Sandusky, Ohio to meet Duke Thorson and the whole group here for the first time. And now thinking full circle where everything's at. Now we're doing donuts where we parked for my first meeting. I don't know. It's just so neat to see how the world has changed around me and progressed, but at the same time, just so humbling, man. Like, what an experience, right? Like, I don't know. It's just so cool. The last time I got to feel like this was my last championship, and that was a long time ago.
I think that was in the ARC. What is today? The ARC E-Series, right?
That's correct. Yeah, it was for us back then. It was the K&N Pro Series East, and there was the Pro Series West. There was no National Series like there is now. So we ran the East Series, got our championship, but you don't know when the next one's going to be. I mean, that was 2014, right? And now you look at, here we are in 2021. I finally got another NASCAR championship. But look at the time that it took in between there. A lot of ups, a lot of downs. And, I just feel like now I have a home and some real confidence behind me here in the Truck Series. And that means a lot to a driver because it's a tough sport. It really is.
It's well-deserved for sure. I mean, like you said, it's been 7 years. I'm pretty sure your next one's not going to take another 7 years to reach. Although if it does, you're still quite young. I think you're not going to even be 36 like me. So you've got a long ways to go.
Well, what you're drinking for like potion to make yourself look young because you do not look like 36. I'm just gonna throw that out there. So
well, thank you very much. You've earned 20 points with the Podium Finish for that comment. I wish it could apply to next year's Truck Series point standings, but I appreciate that. I guess the secret before we get back to the interview is just eat a lot of cookies and chicken nuggets and you're good.
Wow. That's my favorite diet. That's my type of diet right there. I can call that permanent.
Well, I don't, high blood pressure wise, not a good idea, but it's okay. Now, you mentioned a little bit about the ups and downs. Actually, let's head into that before I get back into this year's championship run. You know, you mentioned about the struggles, the adversities you face. I have to imagine that got a little bit trying at times. So how did you keep your mental attitude positive as possible, given those pendulum swings?
Well, that's the thing. As a driver, a lot of times you're in your own little silent struggle, right? Nobody really puts, you know, their struggle on blast. Nobody wants to make their private world, you know, known to the whole world. I mean, there's a few people that do, but for the most part, you really don't know it unless you're there living it. You're in that person's support group, because we're all human at the end of the day, and we're all trying to make it in this insanely competitive environment. So yeah, I definitely had my own fair share of uncertainty and you know, trials and tribulations over the years to get to this point. And I started racing when I was 7 years old. So, you know, I'm throwing it all the way back to when I was racing and my dad was my crew chief and we were learning this together. And it's been one heck of a journey, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I mean, all those experiences made me who I am today and have shaped and molded me. And the way that you really get through all of that and come out on the other side a better person is definitely, you know, due to the people I have around me. You know, Duke and Rhonda, for one, the fact that I'm racing today and that we even have this championship. I told them before, I was like, thank you all for believing in me, because, you know, nobody else did. And look, we're champions now. So I love it. Let's go get another one next year. It's funny. Somebody was like, oh, you're going to take the trophy home with you after this event, this open house. It's like, I don't think I will. I think we should stay here. And until I get another one to replace that one, I think it should stay here. I think that's a heck of a motivation for anybody that's involved. Like, you know what? Maybe let the crew guys have it for a while. Like the Stanley Cup, they can have it for a few days. They can have it for a week. You know what? Do what they want with it. It's all of our trophy. It's not like it belongs to me. I hate that the drivers always get, you know, the all the publicity out of it, because I've got some really unique and fun people on my team that deserve some attention and they deserve that support. So yeah, maybe they can have some fun with it. We'll put it back here. And until I can win another one, then, you know, I'll just have to keep trying.
I like that you brought up the team aspect, that a lot of folks don't realize that it's not just the driver who gets all the glory, the pit crew, the people at the shop, you know, everybody who sacrifices their time and effort to make a dream come true for you and for the organization. That's what it takes to be so successful in NASCAR, motorsports, any kind of series. So that's awesome you acknowledge them. And I'm sure when they hear and read this interview, they're going to appreciate you acknowledging that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, it's the truth. You know, it's more of a team sport than people realize. We get done with our burnouts on the street, and before I could even have the truck turned off, we've got a squad of people around me that are cleaning and disassembling. And I'm like, it really takes a village. I mean, we've got a really good family here, and you can't do it by yourself. Nobody could. So I'm just really, really happy and just proud to be proud to be part of that family with them.
I'm sure they're equally as proud to be with you too, because to be with the same driver for 6 years, to see that progress and the inroads rewarded with this championship, and knowing you're going to be back next year, that makes you guys a really dangerous team to watch next year, which I'm looking forward to. And I keep saying on our podcast that if anyone is going to be new to watch NASCAR, besides the Cup Series, to watch the Truck Series, because it's such an exciting series.
Trucks are so fun. I mean, they put on so much action and just excitement in such a short amount of time. And what cracks me up about all of it is that NASCAR, all of last year, their experiments with different horsepower packages and aero packages were trying to make it more like the Truck Series. Like, they're trying to give them more drag. They're trying to give them more. It was incredible to watch. I'm like, you guys don't have to try nothing. You can just send all the, you know, all the fans over here, because the Truck Series has got it all. You know, I'm a 100% Truck Series supporter. And what makes me happy is knowing that there's other people that feel that way. I mean, Duke and Rhonda for one, right? But you can look at new teams that are entering the sport that come to the Truck Series, new drivers. And of course, you know, Camping World with Marcus Lemonis, with the bonuses and the triple truck challenge that they're doing. That's neat. That's really cool. So I love it. I love to see that. And I know that there's a lot of fans that are loyal to the Truck Series, and that makes me happy.
It makes it a great series to watch. And just knowing that NASCAR is having a lot of these like successes in the Truck Series, because for a while it did seem like people are wondering if it's going to be a healthy series, but now you've got the mix of young drivers, you've got the lifers in the series, which is not a bad thing to be a lifer in trucks. I mean, It's as competitive as the Cup and the Xfinity Series in my book. And I think that's an interesting point that you brought up about how, the Cup Series is starting to become quite similar to the Truck Series because of the fact that, the lower horsepower count, the high downforce package. When I compare the shows on the weekends, I'm like, this looks like a truck race, but at least the truck races, you get it all and there's no room for error in it.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. The trucks have a good mix of personalities too between some of the olders and the young guys that are coming in. And, I love when you look back at the history of the Truck Series of what it was founded on. There was a lot of, superstars from the Cup Series that were running in it. It was less of a busy schedule and it was super trucks. It was awesome. I mean, you go into the grocery store and buy the magazine, and this is, when I was little, right? Like, I mean, I'm in diapers, but it's neat to see where that started, kind of the evolution. And I really hope they can get back to that pure, like just raw energy and excitement and just standalone factor, because the Truck Series deserves that. I mean, look how many vehicles are on the road are trucks. Majority of the vehicles on the road are trucks. Like, it just makes sense to have a Truck Series that's the fastest trucks on the planet. You can't really say that about cars. There's all kinds of different series for cars. You got IndyCar, Formula One, and NHRA, and all this stuff. But we are the fastest trucks on the planet, and I think that's pretty neat. To say that you're one of those drivers, and there's nothing wrong with, being a lifer in this series. I mean, you're set out as a driver to be a professional and to compete for championships at a very high level. That's what we're doing. We're the fastest truck series on the planet, and you're winning championships and races and stuff. Like, that's cool. And to me, that's just a dream come true, right? So I'm happy where I'm at and couldn't think of a better place to be than Thor Sport Racing. And in fact, I think a lot of people are seeing that now. This is the team that, they've got a long history. And for whatever reason, they never got the coverage and the respect that I think they deserved. And now people are seeing that. I mean, from 13, 14, 19, 21, I mean, they've won a lot of races and championships. And you're starting to really see, like, the recognition for Thor Sport, not only within the motorsports community, but just outside of that and the fan base too. It's starting to take hold, and I love to see that.
I do too, just because of the fact that that's what makes NASCAR quite distinct compared to the contemporaries that you mentioned, because you have like this hometown factor, whereas in F1, it's kind of secluded in different nations, different cities, that you can't do a burnout in the parking lot like you just did. I mean, that's just so cool.
And we didn't initiate any of that. That was the city rallying behind us and saying, we'd like a parade. And it's like, oh, okay. And that was city council. That was police officers, fire department, ambulance. Like, it was all in there. And then, of course, we had all of our haulers and the truck itself. Toyota brought up the new 2022 Tundra with a giant glass case with the trophy was in it. I mean, there was a lot of support for this. And the fact is that Thor Sport Racing is the only team in NASCAR that's out of North Carolina, that's not in Charlotte, so this is it, and this is the professional sports team of Sandusky. Like, people rally behind it. And like, when I'm driving down the street and I see all these different stickers and fenders and bumpers and t-shirts on, and people are, yelling for a burnout, it's just, we wouldn't get that anywhere else, right? Like, if we were in Charlotte, this wouldn't be happening right now, because this is Thor Sport. It's unique. It's the team that everybody wants to be in, and be a part of. And Sandusky rallies behind that. I think they all know that they've got a cool thing here. And, Thor Sport recognizes we got a cool town here. It's a really good match. Really, really good match.
And that's awesome to hear. I love to see that factor as well, because in this day and age in sports, you don't really get to have that kind of connection with your fans or the town that you're based out of. It's just, like, in even NFL, right? Like, a lot of people love different teams that they're, based on where they live or, where they grew up in, but they're not going to have a chance to see, like, Aaron Rodgers and be like, hey, Aaron, that's so cool. Can you throw me a football and we'll catch that? No, you can't do that. So, I mean, that's just so cool. I think that's what makes NASCAR and your team in particular and the town that you're in, they're based out of, to be so cool. And you talked a lot about the topics that I've already covered, which I feel like you read my questions. And if you did, smart on you. So it seems like you consolidated my interview list quite a bit, but that's fine, because I actually got some different questions for you. Kind of switching gears here. You're a champion now in NASCAR, but let's just say Hollywood's like, hey, Ben, this is Paramount Pictures. We want to make a movie about you and your racing life. which actor would you want to have play you in the movie?
Oh man. serious answer would probably be like Chris Pratt or Tom Cruise, or like, I don't know, some well-known, respectable, you know, actor that's had a really good career ahead of him, or had a really good long career behind him. I think everybody would say that, but deep down, deep inside here, I want to go with an actor with an amazing voice, maybe like a Lawrence Fishburne, you know, be like the Matrix. He's got a cool voice. He'd be like, yeah, chosen one.
Well, you are the chosen one in NASCAR right now, so I like the little fact. And I gotta ask that topic, because you mentioned the Matrix off topic. Are you gonna be looking forward to that movie next Wednesday?
Absolutely. So I didn't know what the Matrix was when I was little, but I got into it a few years back, and I thought it was an awesome movie. I'm a big Keanu Reeves fan, so maybe he could be me. His work in John Wick is phenomenal. So yeah, I'm a huge fan of his. So yeah, hey, I'm gonna go see it. There's a lot of good movies coming out, actually.
Oh, for sure. And that's a welcoming thing that I'm looking forward to with the holidays approaching, is that I can finally catch up on movies. I don't race cars, but I'm a grad student at St. Bonaventure University. I work in an office job, which I'm kind of snuck away from. And I write about racing. So I do three, it's like racing all three series, but I do it every day. So yeah, I'm looking forward to watching some good movies soon here. We got to let each other know about the Matrix. Because I follow you on Twitter, so I better get some reactions from you about that.
I'll get a good rating. Don't worry. I'm a fan, so I can't tank it, even if it's bad.
Exactly. Because I was going to say, if someone wrongs you on the track, say Chandler Smith or Zane Smith next year, I expect you to have the glasses and the suit, and you should be like, Mr. Smith. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I had to do that for you, because that's... it's the Matrix, man. It's what we do here on the Podium Finish.
Mr. Anderson. Yeah, we got Jordan Anderson, so I can do Mr. Anderson to Jordan.
Oh, my God. Yes. Do it.
All right. We got some thoughts going here. We got some thoughts.
Exactly.
Mr. Anderson.
Jesus. If I talk, when I get to talk to him next year, I hope you're nearby, because I'm going to pull you both aside and we'll do a little Matrix scene, and I'll put the music in for video.
More power to it. More power.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we talked a lot about you as a driver. We've talked about your championship and your love of the Matrix, which now this is super cool to know. But speaking of like music, what song do you feel epitomizes who you are, not just as a race car driver, but as a person?
Man, I don't know. That's a really all-encompassing question that has a, I mean, you're asking a serious thing here. I've got to pick something out that is from the right time period, but also the right lyrics and also the right melody. And that's tough. You know, my mind immediately went to a Hank Williams song, but I don't also think that his lyrics sometimes represent me, like Whiskey Bent and Hellbound. I don't do that. So, but I love the flow of that song. It's a good song. It's got that country vibe. I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that one. There's a lot of thought process to go into that, but Hank Williams comes to mind at the moment.
Well, that's a fair choice.
Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah. Not the father who's like, in the black and white picture era. We're talking about the one who sang the Monday Night Football theme song for so many years.
Yeah, his father's song will be "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry."
Whoa, a little bit of carpool karaoke on TPF Live. I like that. See, this is the things I miss about doing interviews person to person. I mean, this is as close as it gets right now until like we get back to the racetrack. Is I want to do some of these karaoke sessions. So you kicked it off, and you set the bar quite high.
Well, we can make it go even higher. They got a video up here. So they've got TVs all over ThorSport. And on those TVs, they're playing like the intro to Welcome to the Jungle. Somebody thought it would be really funny to do like, you know, the intro. They're playing the instrumental leading up to it. And then right when he's going to say Welcome to the Jungle, it cuts to my press conference. You guys are really funny. So I'm going to be listening to that all day.
So, oh, boy. Some music. Well, if you ever want to get them back and they're doing this to you, I'm trying to think, you should play Schools Out by Alice Cooper.
Yeah, I like that song. That's a good one.
That's all what right. I play every time it's 4 p.m. Central Time on weekdays.
I like Alice Cooper.
I do too. He's a cool dude for sure. I got a couple more questions for you because, like I said, you hacked my questions. I'm pretty sure you are from the Matrix. Now, you know, kind of talking back on the racing side, you talked about your beginnings working with your dad as a crew chief. And then for the last 2 years, you worked with Matt Noyce until this year, where you had a new voice on the earphones. You worked with, I believe it was Rich Lucius. So, I mean, what was it like to work with him and achieve this championship, knowing it's like, whoa, I've got this new person talking to me and working with me?
Well, I call him Richard. We go by full names, him and I. I know we're weird like that. So I'm like, all right, Richard, it's new season. Hope you got your big boy pants on. And I just said something stupid like that to him. And boom, we show up Daytona and we unload. I'm like, I hope you want to win this year. Because don't suck. And I'm like, I'm just being really brutal to the guy, just being like funny, but also like, hey, like, I'm serious. Let's like win this thing. We show up Daytona, he wins the first two races. I'm like, okay, I like you, Richard. You're pretty good at this. And I mean, he's just giving me solid trucks all year long. Communication's been good. And like, he's just been very solid and understanding of that. I need a comfortable truck to go fast. I can't be wrecking sideways going into the corner because you're not fast like that. It may look cool until it's not. And then, you know, it's also not quick. So he understands as a driver what you need. And that's, you know, comfort, the ability to race hard without the truck stepping sideways on you leads to good hard racing, and it leads to good finishes, and it leads to consistency. So him understanding that, knowing that, and giving me what I need has helped out a lot this year. So I'm a Richard Lucius fan, and he knows that now. So I can't wait to go next year with them. I mean, 2022, can't get here quick enough because we got some lofty goals for next year.
I was going to say, that is my last question, actually. So again, you must be the journalist. I'm actually the race car driver. That is going to be my question. But I know, obviously, the goal is to win the championship and, you know, work things with Richard to even be better. The one thing that's going to be different about next year, of course, is that we've got these sort of full weekends again. Not the ones that we were used to before, but I mean, we have something better than show up and race. So how much of that is going to be a challenge for you guys? You're trying to championship defense.
Yeah, I don't like it. I wish we go back to the metric, to be honest with you. And that sounds lazy, but the truth is when you run good, you start good with the metric. That's a guarantee. And we ran pretty good to start the season. I think we started on the pole the first like five races. So why do I want to give that up? That's awesome. But the truth is that now, yeah, we got to start qualifying and we've got to start, you know, being that guy right off the hauler every single week. And, you know, if, did I disappear on you? Okay, I'm back. Here I am.
You're good.
So anyways, yeah, I'm bad with technology, man. Look, I might be 24 years old, but I'm from Kentucky and we are great with technology. so anyway, I just feel like without the metric, if you're good with the metric, you're good. But if you're bad, you're bad. And you're in a hole and you got to dig your way out. But now with qualifying, yeah, you can be good 1 week, bad the next week, and recover really easily. But you've got to be on it to be consistent. So I'm a fan of the other way. You can call me lazy because we weren't practicing. But we got some really good advantages from it. And the change isn't really something I'm like, oh, excited about. But if we got more practice than what they're saying, I would be fully all about it. But it sounds like we're just going to get like a few laps practice straight into qualifying and then, you know, race. So to me, that makes it very stressful. Don't wreck, and then go out there and race. There's a lot of room for bad things to happen.
That's quite true. In a way, it's kind of like what I call 3% racing from NASCAR Heat 5. You don't get the iRacing experience. It's basically like, you know, it's 9 o'clock. I need to go to bed, but let me get one race in at Eldora in 3% mode.
Exactly. It's like, it's interesting. I've never done anything like that before. And I can't really say I did that at short track racing either. I mean, short track growing up, you had an actual practice. You did the qualifying. This is more like a warm up in a way, at least what I'm hearing right now. And maybe some of that could change. And I know that you know, I'm not knocking NASCAR here because I know they're trying things. The fact of the matter is the world is still dealing with COVID and restrictions. And I know there's lockdowns in other parts of the world right now. So maybe they're trying to put themselves in a position of strength so that we can go to these places and it's supposed to be best for everybody. So I don't know what's in the crystal ball. I don't know what they're looking at and what they think the world's going to do in 2022. But I hope it's 100% open and fans can come back and you can be there and I can be there and we're just having a great time and we can practice for 2 hours again. But until that happens, you know, I'm going to support their efforts on trying to get us back to some sort of normalcy, right? So, but in the meantime, I love the metric. They can bring that back anytime.
Hey, you know what? As a journalist, I didn't mind it either just because we're there for the race.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if we're – you know, making storylines in practice, well, that's probably not good. You're probably wrecking in practice. And then with practice, we got to start building backup trucks now to every race. And there's just a lot more work that comes along with it. So it's like, do it or don't do it. That's my take.
Exactly. Exactly. But I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today for this first interview with the Podium Finish. I should have done this a long time ago. Wished I had, but hey, it's never too late. And I hope to have you back before the Daytona Speed Weeks, or Speed Week rather at this point, because you're a lot of fun to talk to. And I don't even think I need to come up with questions. We just chat, straight up chat, and we'll have a good old time.
That works for me. And again, thanks for having me. And I look forward to the next time.
Well, folks, that was Ben Rhodes, who was in this week's hot seat. So it was great to have him on. And thank you, Ben, for joining us here on the hot seat. I do want to thank you, Ben, as well as Lynn Glocker from Thor Sport Racing, for making this possible. I got a great kick out of hearing from him, and I'm going to be curious to follow up with him just to get his thoughts on the Matrix Resurrections, because as he heard in the interview, he was quite excited about the movie. I know I was too, so maybe we'll get a 2022 edition of that interview with him and talk about what he thought about the movie, and maybe if he took the red or blue pill. But that's for another time, for another episode. So yeah, I thought we'd kick off this new year with our new truck champion. Great little theme that we're going to be doing here. So before we close things out, you know, Nathan, I know you've been really racking up the TPF credit card miles. Not kidding. Well, putting up some great content, if you will, doing some season recaps about the playoff racers. Right now, we're focusing on the truck series. And then we'll work our way through the Xfinity and eventually the Cup Series before we get to the LA Coliseum race in February. But what other things do you have in the pipeline on the podiumfinish.net?
Yeah, it's been a fun series I've been working on right now. I'm working on a Stuart Friesen piece, a fellow New Yorker, for his season recap to come out soon here on TPS. I've had a lot of fun doing some of those. And, you know, as you said, we'll progress into some Xfinity and Cup stuff here as we get closer to Daytona. Hopefully by the time Daytona rolls around, we'll have every playoff driver from all three national touring series covered. So it's been fun doing those. Hope to have some interviews in the works in the next couple of weeks before I go back to school. I've got some free time where hopefully I'll be able to talk to some drivers and talk about 2021, preview 2022, and just talk about, you know, just talk about life, you know. So excited for all that. And of course, you know, I'm still doing my college basketball stuff, finally getting to a couple games again after some COVID cancellations. So it's always fun to be able to do that. So staying busy, go back to school on January 17th. So as soon as I go back, it's going to be really busy, but I'm excited for it.
Oh, busy is going to be the big word for both me and you, because that's when I go back to grad school. And leave you me, I've been enjoying my break, but I'm actually eager to get back to the classroom, if you will, the virtual one in my case, and try to finish off this master's journey that I'm on. Like you, I also got some stuff that's coming on the pipeline as well, which I hope to share a little bit on the interview front, and just to kind of tease you audience members out there who are listening in. We will have a brand refresh in terms of our look for TPF, so hope to reveal that very shortly this month. But otherwise, yeah, we're going to be doing some great podcasts here. I did score up some interviews late last year that you're going to be hearing at last as we kick off 2022, just because it was evergreen content. So looking forward to sharing that here on TPF Live. So Yeah, this was a really fast episode of TPF Live. It felt like we literally just picked off where we last were. And I hope you ladies and gentlemen enjoyed this episode and the previous ones we've done. And we'll be back next time around for our next episode, which will be on January 10th. And I'm sure we'll have some great guests. I will say one of the guests I'm not going to tease, I'm going to tell you, Bob Pockrich is going to be on this show. So you folks are going to hear from Pocky. And if you don't think I asked about the light question, if a track has lights, then you don't know what the bear does in the woods. I'll say that.
He's a legend in NASCAR. When I was at Pocono covering my first NASCAR race, you know, you go up to pit road from the garage area, and there's a autograph alley, and you know the drivers are walking by to go up to their cars, and Bob's signing autographs, not the drivers.
Yeah, he is a personality, and I do talk about that with him. So actually, it's a little teaser standpoint. So maybe, just maybe, he'll be on the hot seat here on TPF Live, maybe this month. We'll see. I don't know. Well, I know, but you folks at home don't know. So with that, folks, we're going to wrap this up right now. But I'm glad that you got to join us. And Nathan, of course, I'm glad you got to join us as well for another edition of TPF Live. And hope to have some guests here on the show. And one thing we're going to try to do before I wrap it up is try to get guests live as we're recording the show, like we did for episode one. So little teaser right there. But when we're at the track, when Nathan is at the track, whoever's at there, we're going to try to get these interviews actually going on, so it would be more of an interactive feel.
And hopefully sometime this year, you and I will maybe be able to record a TPF live from the track.
Yeah, I would love to do that. So
hey, good goal for 2022.
Let's just hope we can make it happen. If the station manager at SBU can do us a little good or solid, as you kids say at home, we could do that. So I'm all game for it. I'm excited for 2022. Hell, I wish we can keep recording right now, but we can't, because we got to wrap it up, because we want to save it for next week, as we have a long year ahead of us, but a good one. So just folks, thank you for tuning in for TPF Live here on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever podcast platform you're listening to. Nathan and I greatly appreciate it, and the OTPF team as well. So for Nathan Solomon, Ben Rhodes, this is Rob Tionson signing off for this edition of the Podium Finish Live, St. Bonaventure University podcast produced by Rob Tionson and Nathan Solomon. We'll see you around, folks, for the next episode of TPF Live on January 10th. But until next time, folks, stay safe, be healthy, and let's all get that checkered flag as we kick off 2022. So long, everybody.